Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
Yesterday was the Florida Man Summit. So thank you to all of you who prayed for and cheered us on as we planned this and helped execute it. It was a really great experience of men from all over the state, a really diverse group, some older people, some younger people, people that look like me, people that don't look like me. It was a really great experience to get together and be in men's ministry. I grew up where men's ministry was usually just kind of an excuse to eat barbecue or shoot some clay pigeons, which, don't get me wrong, super fun and a great time to do. But the then message that was shared alongside that was like, be a real man, don't necessarily have feelings, don't talk to anyone, just push everything down, and then one day you'll explode. It'll be fine. What was really great about the Florida Man Summit was that we were able to talk about our feelings, talk about who we are as followers of God, who we are as people that believe in Jesus, people that want to see our community changed. It was really great to be able to share in that. So thank you so much for cheering us on. And letting us do that. What was really funny, though, is that, I got to help organize it in the conference, and at 7:30, the event started at 9, I got a phone call from our first preacher, and he said, "Hello?" And I was like, "Nope, that's not what you're supposed to sound like. You're supposed to sound happy and springy and ready to go." And he said, "My kids got me sick, but I'll be there." And I was like, "You won't be there, I tell you that much. Breathing on me, giving me your germs, that's definitely not going to happen." And so I had the opportunity to preach, which is not what it felt like. It felt more like I had to preach. But after I was done preaching, I was able to share that word. And so I'm grateful that I serve a church that dealt with my preaching that had not yet been developed when I first got here. Does that make sense? I'm trying to be nice to myself. When I was a terrible preacher, you guys loved me anyways, and I've gotten better. And so thank you so much for letting me get better over these last few years. Yeah, you can clap that I'm not as terrible as I used to be. Anyways, so in a world full of single-serve relationships, disposable cups, disposable loves, disposable conversations, disposable people in some ways. In a world where love has become what we receive from others, the church must become a place of sacrificial partnership, a place of love that requires all of us. The first thing that I want you to write down, the thing I'm going to say a lot, I hope it gets stuck in your head, I hope you're thinking about this time next week, is this. Christian love is free. It is never cheap. Christian love is free. It is never cheap. This talk show series, this relationship series that we've been going through together has been a lot of fun for me. I really enjoy people. That's why I'm in this calling, in this job. I think people are the coolest thing on the planet. All of their ideas, their thoughts, their ups, their downs, the music that they make, the jokes that they say. I think people are so fascinating. I like sunrises and sunsets, but people are pretty neat. And I love being able to talk about how we relate to one another. Our first week, we talked about kids. And it was really wonderful to start by talking about parenting, but then really going into a place of this being a community for kids. I love being a church where the sound of little voices is something that we are used to. Amen. I'm really grateful that we're used to the sound of little voices and that we listen to those little voices when they speak. I think that's special and unique to us as a church, and it's something that I really love. And then last week, I'm just so proud of all of you. We started talking about friendships, and my challenge was for you to start cultivating a relationship, a friendship with someone here in this space that you didn't know and you didn't come with. And I actually saw it happen. I saw one person walk up to another person and ask them for their phone number like they were five-year-olds on the playground. And they shared their phone numbers. I don't even know if they connected, but that act of courage is so encouraging to me to see that we are the kind of community that is willing to be just a little bit awkward, just a little bit out of place, a little bit bold in order to make a world where people feel less alone, where people feel seen, heard, and loved. And I am so glad that we get to be a part of that community. This week, the original intent was for us to talk about romantic relationships or romance, but as I began to write, as I began to study, it became more and more just relationships, what it means for us to be in love. And here's the thing about love. We as human beings, we as people that speak English, we've got one word that means a lot of things. I love the triple dipper from Chili's. I really do. People have taken to tagging me in photos of their triple dipper when they go to Chili's and getting it. And if I'm known for nothing, if not loving God, loving my family, loving this church, and loving the triple dipper, may it be so. Like that is, you know, what a goal in my life. I love the triple dipper. I also love my family. Believe it or not, those are two different things. While I do love the triple dipper very much, I actually do love my family quite a bit more than that. And I hope you do too, even though the triple dipper is really good. And I probably shouldn't have added something extra to the triple. I should have added something to my family, but I digress. Sorry, guys. And so the love that we have as human beings, as people who speak English, there's a lot of different kinds of love. The Greeks, and our New Testament was written in Greek, the Greeks had numerous words for the idea of love. There is love between a parent to a child. There's love between romantic partners. There's love between friends. There's love for whole communities. And when we talk about love, we use that one word, we in many ways mean all of those different things. And so today I want us to look at what it means for us to love. To love our friends, to love our spouse if we have a spouse, to love our partner if we have a partner, and to love our community and love our friends in a way that God has called us to, because Christian love is free. It is never cheap. Our passage today comes from Colossians chapter 3. I encourage you to take a Bible out. If you've got a digital one, take that out. If you've got a paper one, use that. But we're going to go to Colossians chapter 3. If you have a paper Bible, you don't know how to get to Colossians, I would encourage you to go to the table of contents, find the number, and seek it out. You know, I've been a student of the Bible for about 36 years right now, and I have never figured out where Colossians is. I know it's in there. I know it's in there. But every time I find it, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about Colossians, because we don't talk about Colossians very much. Colossians is kind of like a remix of a few other pastoral epistles or Pauline epistles. An epistle is just the word for letter. It's not a word you're not supposed to say, but it is fun to say anyways in church. And this epistle is written to the people of God, the people following Jesus in this city, because they didn't know how to be Christians. The thing about the church, the thing about Christianity, is it came out of Judaism. And the people that were following Jesus, all of a sudden, Jesus was up in heaven, and they were like, hey, how do we do this thing called following Jesus? You know, they knew what Jesus taught, they knew what they believed, but they didn't know how to be in community together. They had to decide, oh, this is what we do on Christmas. This is what we do on Easter. We're going to get together on Sunday, and when there's a potluck, someone has to remember to bring the paper plates. You know, when the offering plate goes by, it's your job to hold it while someone else is writing a check. That's a Christian tradition that we have, right? The sort of mode and modality, the how of the what and the why was what these letters were meant for. And so Colossians was written to the people of the Colossian church who were trying to figure out how to follow Jesus. We'll begin in verse 9. Hear the word of the Lord. Don't lie to each other. Take off the human nature with its practices and put on the new nature, which is renewed in knowledge by conforming to the image of the one who created it. In this image, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is in all things and in all people. Therefore, as God's choice, holy and loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with each other. And if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other, as the Lord forgave you. So also forgive each other. And over all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The peace of Christ must control your hearts. Control your hearts. A peace into which you were called in one body. And be thankful, people. The word of Christ must live in you richly. Teach and warn each other with all wisdom by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in speech or action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Very good. So you read this passage and it says, whatever you do, in speech or action, do all in the name of Jesus. But teach and warn each other with all wisdom by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You see what I mean about how to be a Christian? The reason why we have a couple songs up top and a couple songs at the end is not just to fill time. We could do, interpretive dances if we wanted to do that. We could all, do arts and crafts for a little while. But we sing for the purpose of warning and teaching. When we sing songs, the words that are there, the music that is beautiful, that is a secondary point. When we sing songs together, we are being taught. We are learning. When I was a kid, the church that I grew up in was really focused on teaching kids scripture. I've told you this before. I can quote the Bible still in the King James Version. And I remember the song that I was taught, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." I'm not singing it to you. But that song gets stuck in my head often, friends, when I am faced with evil. I hear that song in my head, I sing it to myself, and I try my best to believe it. The songs we're taught as kids are reinforced by the songs we sing as adults. When we sing together, I praise the one that I can rely on. That's who I praise. We remember, we are reminded, we are encouraged that the relationship that we have with God is not this one-sided thing, but rather a true relationship built on the love of God. This passage, something I really want to draw your attention to, is the idea of the new nature. We have a new nature because of God's relationship toward us. The new nature comes from God. This is a story that Paul is telling the church in Colossae, that God is at work in us and something new comes from that. You see, in a life of faith, we seek after having our lives transformed. We want our lives to change. That is why we are here. We are not coming to church to maintain our spiritual life. And I don't care what age you are at, what stage you are at in your journey. There is no retirement from the spiritual life. There is no bench on the playing field of faith. And the church so often can be a place that can almost lull us into sleep and restfulness instead of encouraging us onward towards something new. I go to a gym in Mulberry, obviously you can tell. And the point of that gym is not to go and get like a big slice of cake. It's not to go and get like a really heavy coffee frappuccino. Yeah, I hear the sound too, and it's amazing, all right? You got them. That's not why I go to the gym. I don't go to the gym because they have an unlimited buffet, which they don't. I'll write a comment card, maybe see if they can add one. I go because I want my body to be changed. I want to get stronger. I want to get faster. I want to jump higher. I want to be able to run as long as George Zivkovich, who's training for a half marathon. I want that. And so that's why I go to the gym. But if I went to the gym just for the snacks, I'd be missing the point. Think sometimes, friends, we go to church because we like the music. We like doing something on Sunday morning. This is better than brunch for some people. I think for people who haven't gone to a good brunch, I'm just saying, I love church, but brunch is pretty sick. I don't go to church for the coffee, though it is great, or the bread, which is delicious. I come because I want to be changed. I want a new nature, because the nature that I was born with is not the nature I want to die with. I want to grow, I want to change. So may I push you today. The church, that our community is not here for us to stay the same. Because Christian faith is free, or Christian love is free, and it is never cheap. In a life of faith, we seek after having our lives changed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says this, "So then, if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. The old things have gone away, and look, new things have what?
Arrived.
The translation that I learned as a kid was have come, but I like arrived, because arrived means that it wasn't there in the first place. Anyone else keeping Amazon open because they, you know, they deliver same day delivery? Right, absolutely. Got enough cardboard boxes to start my own competing online store. Yeah, those things, when they arrive, when I see that truck pull up, they got those electric ones, so they're silent now, but I can hear this zzz, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what, it's soap, yes! And it arrives, because there was something I didn't have and it arrived. We stack the boxes up. You know, you gotta let them marinate in the house for a little bit before you open them. Anyone else? You know, the cats sit on them for a little while and then it's like, all right, now we can open it. But it has arrived. I think sometimes we convince ourselves that our Christian faith, our relationships, that they're just who we are already. And when we follow Jesus, when we change our lives, we're doing the changing ourselves. Now, when we enter a relationship, when we fall in love, when we partner up with someone, when we get married, when we have a friendship, we think, I'm just bringing who I am and I'm not going to change and ta-da, this is all you get. But if we read this passage and we believe it, new things have arrived. Our lives change not because of how good we are. Our lives change because new things have arrived. And our relationships should also change us. If we're in meaningful friendships, loving relationships, marriage, or you're dating, those relationships should change you and make you more like Jesus, because Christian love is free and it is never cheap. This idea, never change. There's this American idea that we should never change, that we arrive at a certain heading and we just maintain that until the angel of death comes knocking on our door. That we get to a point, we become an old dog and we don't learn new tricks. We have a set of ideas and perspectives and they're not malleable, they harden, they calcify. We stand rigid as we let the world pass over us and through us, never stepping into the fray. And I wonder, friends, if today you could hear something else. Everything changes, but only living things grow. Everything changes, but only living things grow. If you try to maintain your current heading, if you're not seeking after growth, if you're not desiring a more meaningful relationship both with God, but also the people around you, you will change. But unless you decide to be controlled by the peace of Christ, unless you decide to succumb to the love that God has given to us, you will not live and you will not grow. And I should also add, the only group of people who live in community and never have any conflict and never have any growth is a cemetery. Churches, friends, churches need to be a place of growth and change and conversation, and yes, maybe one day even conflict. But that conflict is something that we as followers of Jesus can navigate. Not because we're so good, but because new things have arrived. Our loves should help us grow and grow alongside us as well. Christian love is free. It is never cheap. But we give in love, friends. We give when we love. Culture would have you believe that relationships are about what we receive, what the other person does for us, gives to us, how they make us feel. It becomes a one-way street where we are simply receiving again and again and again. But that is not what love is. True love will demand everything from us and will deliver the world back to us as well. True love will demand everything from us and will deliver the world back to us as well. And yes, I mean romantic love, and I mean that platonic love we have for our friends. I've been lucky enough that I've developed some friendships that have lasted a really long time. That's one of the benefits they don't tell you about getting old. You know, your hair gets gray, your back hurts more, but you've known people for a long time. I blinked and all of a sudden friends that I felt like I had known for a short amount of time, I've known for 20 years, which is a real pain in the neck, literally. And these relationships that you develop, they require things from you. It's not just moving on a Saturday, but also the heartbreak that comes along with it. Romantic love requires everything from us and will bring the world back to us as well. To love is to have your heart broken, to weep, to laugh. To love is to be alive. To love will require a grief in your heart at some point. To love is to be challenged. To love is to be asked of everything, and for the world to deliver, or for the love to return it back to us. Our passage tells us if we want this Christian love, if we want this love that is free but is never cheap, this love that requires everything from us but will deliver the world back to us as well, we must put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Those five things are required of us if we are going to have a love that lasts. If we're going to have friendships, if we're going to have romantic relationships that last, it's going to require those five things. And can I just tell you, can I be really vulnerable with you in just this moment? I visit a lot of these places, and I don't have an address in any of them. You follow me? That, like, compassion and kindness, I feel like I'm pretty good at that. Gentleness, you know. Patience, no. I went there once, didn't like it. But I try to visit as often as I can. But humility, you know, it's hard. It's hard to be humble sometimes. John, I didn't ask if you don't mind that I say this, but anyways, here I go. Yesterday when I preached at Florida Man Summit, John came up to me and said, you know, hey, did a great job. Thank you so much, John. I really appreciate it. You know, I was even proud that you were my pastor. And I was like, thanks, man. And I walked away and I was like, dang, I think he just burned me real good. And John later clarified that wasn't a burn, but the burn then came and he said, they even laughed at your jokes on, like, on Sunday. And I was like, all right, John, dang, man, come on. This is a hard uppercut there, brother. keep me humble. But these five things, they are practices that we lean into. They are destinations that we drive towards. They are intentions that we set within our hearts. When we lead with these five things, we find that our relationships change because we are growing and changing as well, because Christian love is free. It is never cheap. Now, don't miss this either. Be tolerant with each other, and if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other as the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. Paul says forgive three times in like 12 words. It's important for us to understand. We can't paper over problems. It is rare, it happens, but it's rare that forgiveness is something that we consciously choose to not offer, or we consciously choose to not ask for. Most of the time, when forgiveness is needed to provide healing, it is because something has been deemed as fine. I've got a lot of weddings on the calendar, and the number one thing I always say when I'm celebrating a wedding is simply this: never tell your partner that it's fine. Understand that forgiveness is needed if two people will grow together. If you will be in love, if you will live together, you will require forgiveness. Yes, even you, and you will be required to give it at some point as well. A friend of mine had a house. They were in the process of selling. They were selling the house, and they had a couple of people come in and look at it, and they noticed one night that the fireplace and the chimney, there was like a little bit of water coming at the joint between the drywall and the masonry. And if you know anything about a house, that's expensive, right? Like, I don't know how that could happen. But I know that some contractors are going to be like, yeah, that'll be $1 billion. And you'll be like, all right, I got to sell this house, right? And so what they did was they saw that leak and they got, paint. And they painted over where the leak was coming in. And they would dry it, and someone would come and look at the house. And then they would clean up the puddle, and then they would paint over it. And the next someone come to see the house, and the inspector came, and he was like, yep, looks good. And they were like, yes. And then that problem became someone else's problem. They sold the house, and they moved town. And we do that with our relationships. We see that thing that they say, the way that they treat us, and we think, just paint it over, you know? That argument that we keep having where I simply say, you know, it's fine, and I don't mean it, but I say it because I want it to be done. I want to paint over it so I can move on. That friend of mine that painted over that leak, they couldn't stay in that house. We can't stay in relationships that we're not willing to be bold enough to ask for forgiveness or humble enough to receive it. If we paint over the leaks, the pain in our house, we are not going to be able to live fulfilled, meaningful relationships. Christian love is free. It is never cheap. To love is to trust even when we need forgiveness. In our relationships, we need to have Christ at the center of those relationships. And beyond that, the peace of Christ must control our hearts. We need to have Christ's peace in the equation. Oftentimes, the church has required people to stay in relationships that no longer had the peace of Christ in the center of them. They would say, you know, the United Methodist Church was one of the first churches to say that people that were divorced could come and be a part of the church. Did you guys know this? Which sounds like kind of a wild thing to, you know, stand firm saying, if you got a divorce, you're not welcome here anymore. But that was the common practice. And I see, you know, heads nodding that, maybe have lived a little bit longer than me. But most churches up until about the 70s and 80s would say, no, you know, you can stay home. We don't want you here. But the United Methodist Church very early said, yeah, come home. If you had a divorce, that stinks. Probably hurt you a lot more than it hurt me. Come on and be a part of the church. And in fact, the former bishop of Florida found the Methodist church because his parents got divorced and the other church that they were a part of kicked them out and they needed a church to go to. And he learned how to play the piano at a Methodist church. And the church has done this with maybe an intent that was important, but a practice that was wrong. And we, as United Methodists, we understand that, you know, marriage is something that we commit to for our lives. And we also know that sometimes marriages end. And before they do, before those relationships end, before our partnerships end, before our friendships end, before our loves end, I want to tell you to bring Christ's peace into the equation. Rely on your community. Seek after Christ's peace to control your life so that you might be able to see love persisting. Because Christian love is free, it is never cheap. For our hearts to be controlled by peace, we must find the source of peace. Some of you have already seen, and I've shared it with you, but I've started using this app called Pray As You Go. Just to be vulnerable with you, I really had a hard time having a daily practice of reading God's word. Maybe a bit like a chef that doesn't want to cook when they come home. You know what I mean? Like, I look at the Bible for a living. And so every morning, you know, starting with the Bible is something so vital for my life, and prayer is so vital for my life. And sometimes it's really hard. But I've started to use this app, and it leads you through prayers and scripture reading. There's sacred music. It's really important to my life now over these last 2 weeks. And you know what? The craziest thing happened. That when I start my day with scripture and the source of peace, my day is a whole lot better than when I start with the flashlight that tells me bad news. Now, have you guys seen this thing? Every horrible thing you've ever heard of is in here, and it's really bright, and it'll just right into your eyeballs and into your soul. But instead, if I could begin my day with the source of peace, my life is actually made a whole lot better. And it's because Christian love is free, but it's never cheap. So what is all this about? It's about compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If we want true love, we need those things. None of these things will mean you need to disappear. In order to pursue compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That doesn't mean that your personality, your needs, your thoughts, your hopes, your dreams have to fade away. If your form of kindness is to hide who you are in order to make someone else happy, friends, that's not kindness. If you need to squish down the pain and the fear that you have in order to have compassion or gentleness or patience with someone else, that's not any of those things. All of this, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, all of these things will require God's grace. They will require the grace of God for you to be able to show them, for you to be your whole self, to show up with your whole heart, passion, dreams, and love. And to be able to have these things will require all of God's grace. Because Christian love is free, but it is never, ever cheap. So I have a couple action points for you this morning. Some things I want you to hold on to so that you can put this sermon into action, that your relationships can be based off of the love of Christ instead of what the single service sort of relationships the world offers us. The first one is this. I want you to ask yourself if you are bringing compassion, kindness, gentleness, and patience to your relationships. See if the call is coming from inside the building. See if it's something that you need to change within your own life. If you're not bringing those five things, begin to pray about how you can bring those five things to your friendships, your marriages, your partnerships. The second one is this. Allow Christ's peace to take control of your life. If you're starting your day and you feel like you're sprinting into uncertainty and sprinting into another hard day, you feel like you don't know what's going to happen, I want to challenge you to begin with prayer, scripture, sacred music, something that grounds you with the source of peace. Challenge yourself to begin your day with the source of peace. If you can do these two things, I think you'll begin to see that your relationships shift because you are shifting. You will find your relationships growing because you, friend, are growing. If we can do these two things, our world will look different. Because, friends, we will look different. Because Christian love is free, but it is never cheap. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week and be blessed.